I want you to take just a moment and try to imagine something. I want you to imagine what the world would be like without parents. Can you imagine that? Imagine that. Just take a moment. Try to imagine a world without parents. Now, how many of you in here this morning, under the age of 18, know what I'm talking about when I say the movie Home Alone? All right. Some of you just had images run through your head similar to when Kevin in Home Alone wakes up and realizes that his wish for his family to just all go away has seemingly came true, right? He ran through the house. He did a victory dance. He did all these things. He was so pumped up because his parents and family were gone. Of course, the truth of the matter is that they forgot to take him on their big Christmas vacation and accidentally left him home alone. But he didn't know that. He was excited because they were gone. He didn't really know why. And so what did he do? Man, he ate too much ice cream. He stayed up extra late. He would go to his brother's room and say, "Buzz, I'm about to get into your piggy bank. Don't you want to come out here and maybe beat me up or something?" Oh, Buzz, if you can remember that. He did what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. So perhaps something like that came to your mind when I asked you to imagine a world without parents. I mean, you thought about how great it would be to have nobody to tell you to go to bed at a certain time, or for you older folks here, older teens, to be home at a certain time. There would be nobody to tell you what to eat or what to watch or what to listen to or what clothes to wear. Nobody to make sure that you actually do your homework or that you do your chores. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, okay, maybe for a little while, but you have to remember that if there were no parents, there'd be nobody to give you hugs and kisses. And I know as I say that, some of you teens here think, "I'm too big for that." You're never too big for hugs and kisses from your mom and dad. There'd be nobody to tell you how proud they are of you, and nobody to tuck you in at night and to pray with you. And what's more, if there were no parents, you wouldn't have any food to eat. You would have to worry about somebody telling you what to eat because there would be nothing for you to eat. You would have no television to watch or no iPod to listen to or clothes even to wear. You would have no bed to sleep in, so you would have to worry about when to go to bed. You'd have no bed to go to or no house to do chores in. So let's just be honest. A world with no parents would be an incredibly rotten place to live. Amen? And so I say this morning, and this is the title of the message, thank God for parents. You see, parents are one of God's greatest gifts to us. Now, undoubtedly, as I say that, I know that not everybody here had parents who were a blessing to you. Perhaps you had a parent who abandoned you or who abused you or who were ungodly and unwise. But can I just say that while they were maybe not a blessing, God meant for them to be a blessing. They, for whatever reason, I mean, they chose to walk a path completely against the revealed will of God for parents to be a blessing to their children. But here's some good news. You don't have to be like them. You might share DNA with them, you might share a last name with them, but you don't have to be like them. You see, you have an opportunity to be different, to honor God as a parent, to be a blessing to your children. And I believe it's in this context that God delivers the fifth commandment. We continue in our series here this morning called God's Guardrails, which is a great way of thinking about the Ten Commandments. I like the imagery, the vividness of this. God in the Ten Commandments, you see, has set up lovingly, He has lovingly set up moral boundaries around our lives so that we might know what a righteous life is. And then, next, when we come face to face with what righteousness is, the Ten Commandments then make it clear that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, pushing us to Jesus, making our need for Jesus abundantly clear and driving us to Jesus. And after we come to Jesus, then the Ten Commandments do this. They then help us live out an abundant life that is pleasing to Him through our faith in Jesus. And the fifth guardrail does that perfectly. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 if you're not there already. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and here's what it says. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This morning from our text, I want to point you to three actions in light of this commandment to help us live out this commandment. Okay, the first action is to dads and moms. All right, and it's this. Here's the action. Dads and moms, be honorable. Be honorable. I know a lot of times, you know, parents want to come and say, preacher, preach this, right? Children, honor your parents. But I take that back and I turn it back on parents. Parents, moms, dads, moms, be honorable. Now, this is an implication of the text, okay? It's not the actual commandment. But it's an angle to the actual commandment here that should not be overlooked. The primary commandment here, yes, is to sons and daughters. But like similar commandments in the Bible that regulate family relationships, the one who is receiving the benefit of what is commanded to another person should work extremely hard to help them to be obedient to what's being commanded to them. And let me say that again. The one who is receiving the benefit of what is commanded to another person should work extremely hard to help them be obedient to what is being commanded to them. So what does that mean? For instance, in Ephesians 5, wives are commanded to be submissive to their husbands like they should be to Jesus, okay? So who's receiving the benefit there? Husbands are, right? Husbands are receiving the benefit of what's being commanded of their wife. Therefore, what should husbands do? Husbands should strive to be the kind of men that their wives would gladly be submissive to. They should be the kind of men that make it easy for their wife to obey that commandment. And likewise in Ephesians 5, husbands are commanded to sacrificially love their wives like Jesus loves the church. And so who receives that benefit? Wives do. Wives are receiving the benefit of what's being commanded of husbands. Therefore, wives should be the kind of women that husbands would gladly sacrifice for. They should be the kind of women that make it easy for husbands to obey that commandment. Now, so keep that in mind to help us think this through in the case that's found here with the fifth commandment. Dads and moms are receiving the benefit. They're the ones that are being honored. They are receiving the benefit of what's being commanded of sons and daughters. So dads and moms should strive to be the kind of people that sons and daughters want to honor, are glad to honor. They should be the kind of parents that make it easy for sons and daughters to obey this commandment. I mean, does that make sense? Are you tracking with me? Yes, children are to honor their parents, but first I say to dads and moms, be honorable. So what does that mean? I want to point you to six things here that means. What does it mean to be honorable as a parent? First, dads and moms, it means that you should love the Lord God. You should love the Lord God. You see, Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 37, tells us that here's the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the greatest and foremost commandment. But I would argue also that that's also the first and greatest commandment of parenting. You see, sometimes we try to compartmentalize our life and we don't put this commandment over every aspect of it. To love the Lord your God with all of your being, that's the first commandment of parenting also. I tell you, as a preacher, I get to do a lot of funerals. And one of the things that is a blessing in that, it's often very hard, but one of the greatest blessings I have is when I get to bury a saint. A mom or a dad who has been a faithful follower of Jesus Christ in their life. And that makes all the difference. I mean, it just, their children they grieve differently. They remember differently. They tell different kind of stories because they had a mom and dad that was easy to honor because of their love for God. The second action I would point you to, what does it mean to be honorable? Is that you pass on that love of God to your children. You don't just love God yourself. You pass it on to children, to your children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, we have what is traditionally called the Shema. And here's what the Shema is. Here's what it says. It says this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So did you see how that works, the connection there? In verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And then go to verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. There's a connection there. There's a passing on of this love. Now, obviously, it's not just caught, it's taught, right? I mean, your life is going to bear out whether or not you love God with all your being. But we have to teach our children by example and by just actual teaching, okay? So what are some simple things that you can do to pass on your love for God? One is to just pray with your children. Pray with them. It doesn't have to be extravagant, but it has to be sincere from the heart. Pray with your children that in the morning, at mealtimes, at bedtimes, definitely. All of those, okay? Those are all big parts of the day when it's important to pray with your children. But there should be times other than that. Maybe family worship time at night, or maybe together on a Sunday afternoon, there's a time for you just to get together and to just pray with your children. And certainly when there is a crisis or there's something that's happening, to be there in prayer with your children, you'll pass it on. I would also say to pass this on, read and study your Bible with your children. Listen, I understand we're to have our quiet time and all those things, but you know what? Quiet time sometimes needs an audience, amen? I mean, there needs to be a time where you are in front of your children, with your children, reading and studying the Bible with them. That's not just for Bible fellowship teachers, Sunday school teachers, Connects teachers, right? I mean, that's to supplement what you're already doing at home. Third, simply take your children to church. Take them to church. You should help instill in them that church is a place that loves God. The people love God, and they should be connected to it. It should be a priority in their life. So taking your children to church is an important thing that you can do. And then finally, I would just say, serve in the name of Jesus with your children. Take them to make a difference in somebody else's life. As Jesus said, to go in his name and to do good works in the name of him so that people might glorify our Father in heaven when they see our good deeds. These are ways that you pass on the love of God to your children. That's one of these are ways to be honorable. Third, when I think about being honorable, I would say this. Live a life of moral purity. Live a life of moral purity. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16, verse 15 and 16, that we are to be holy. Here's what it says. It says, as God, or as he, that's God, who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. since it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And so let me just ask two simple questions. Is there anything in your life that you do that you don't want your children to know you do? You want to keep it a secret. You don't want them to know because it would embarrass you. You're afraid they might tell someone. Is there anything like that? Let me follow it up with this question. Is there anything in your life that you do that you don't want your children to do also? I think these are good indicators of things in your life that are places of moral impurity, right? I mean, it's strange, but there are things that we will do ourselves, but we would never, ever want our children to do. What are those things? And when you find those things, there's a good chance that it's not pure and needs to be gotten rid of. So live your life of moral purity. And when you do so, you will be honorable to your children. Fourth, provide for your children, parents. Provide for your children. I mean, that's biblical. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Even unbelievers provide well for their children. And we as Christian parents should certainly provide well for our children. Now, that doesn't mean that we give them everything under the sun. It means that they are taken care of well. Five, if you want to be honorable, you discipline your children. Discipline your children. Hebrews 12:6 helps us understand that discipline is actually love. For the Lord, it says here, disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. If you want your children to resent you, if you want your children to think that you're a joke, if you want your children to treat you like a doormat, then remove your discipline from their lives. If you let them treat you like a doormat, they will. I promise you, they will. If you want to be honored, then you have to work to discipline them so that they know to honor you. But let me just add this in here. We have to be careful there. There's a balance because Ephesians 6:4 tells us basically this. Here's what it says. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And so, yes, we are to discipline them, but we're not to exasperate them. Okay? You got to find that balance there. But if you want to be honorable, then you need to discipline your children. And then finally, I would say this, is that to be honorable means that you communicate love and demonstrate love to your children. In Matthew 22, verse 39, Jesus says that the second greatest commandment is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I would say that that's also the second greatest commandment of parenting as well. And who's closer as far as a neighbor goes? When the Bible uses neighbor, it's not necessarily talking about the guy next door. It's talking about the human beings who are close to you and who is closer to you in proximity and in your heart than your children, right? When was the last time that you told your children, "I love you"? Has it been a while? You say, "Well, they should know that. I shouldn't have to say that." Think of how many times God has said and has demonstrated throughout his word that he loves you. Because we need to be reminded, and your children need to be reminded too. If you want to be honorable, then communicate love and demonstrate love to your children. So, dads and moms, be honorable. But now let's turn our attention to the primary thrust of the commandment. Okay? The second action that I want to point you to this morning is to sons and daughters. And here it is. Sons and daughters, honor your parents. That's the second action. Sons and daughters, honor your parents. Let's look back at our text. Exodus 20, verse 12. It says this. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So we see that there's blessing attached to this, that if you'll do this, there's blessing. Okay, that should get your attention. There's going to be blessing here. And for those under the old covenant, it was blessing in the land that God was giving them. But let's get to the commandment that leads to the blessing. Okay, the blessing should get your attention. There's good attached to this. Good for me attached to this. Let's get to the commandment. Now let me say this. How many of you here are a son, you're a son, or you're a daughter? Raise your hand. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that I understood who my crowd was when I'm preaching here, okay? Everybody, right? Everybody is a son or a daughter. Doesn't matter how old you are. Everybody here is a son or a daughter. Okay, so let's look at this. Honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother, it says. The word honor, it helps us get a grip around what God's talking about here, okay? The Hebrew word translated as honor is the word chabed, okay? Chabed. It means to be heavy, weighty, or burdensome. Now just picture that in your mind. To honor, the root of that word in Hebrew means to be weighty, heavy, or burdensome. Does that sound like the modern parent-child relationship? No way, right? We're very child-centric, right? Children are often at the center of the relationship. Children are often at least the co-pilot, if not the actual pilot of the relationship. And that's one of the reasons that modern children are often disrespectful. They've not been taught that there's a heaviness, there's a weight that they should give to their mom and to their dad. There should be a weightiness there, a respect, even maybe a fear. Now, I'm a little bit scared to say this morning because if my mom and dad are right here, I'm afraid my dad, he might get up and whoop me right now, so I'm going to be careful here. But there was a time about middle school age where my mama got the belt out. I don't even remember what I had done. But she said, I'm going to whip you. And I said, no, you're not. And she said, yes, I am. I've got the belt here. I'm going to whip you. Now come here and let me give you a whipping. I said, you're not going to whip me. And she said, I am. And so we got into a little bit of a tussle and I ripped the belt from her hand and threw it across the room. And she grabbed me and she said, what is the matter with you? Now it's a little bit funny now looking back on it, but you know what? It wasn't funny. And it's still not funny. Shame on me. Shame on me that I treated my mama that way. Shame on me that I did that. And young folks, listen to me very carefully. Shame on you if you ever disrespect your parents. If you ever dishonor your parents. When you talk back. When you disobey. When you just do whatever you want to do and pretend like your parents have said nothing. Shame on you. There should be a weightiness there that we should want to honor our mom and dad. That means we have to, parents, that means we have to teach our children to honor us. So, how do you obey your parents? Okay, or how do you honor your parents, I guess I should say. How do you honor your parents? First, I would say that means to obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I mean, they're God's representative before you. I mean, do you realize that, young folks? Your parents are God's representative before you, and as you obey God, you should obey them. As you obey God, you should obey them. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want you to notice there in Ephesians 6:1 that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. Okay, did you notice that? Hear that phrase, in the Lord. That means that there might come a time in your life when a parent tries to lead you to do something that is sinful. To lie, to steal, to hurt somebody else. Or to let them do something to you. God says that you are to obey your parents only in the Lord. That means that God expects you to disobey your parents if they are commanding you to sin, okay? So hear that. If your parent is commanding you to sin, you've got to obey God first, okay? You've got to obey God first before you obey your parents in those situations. And you should not sin. But can we just admit here that these are rare occasions for most children? I mean, most parents are not commanding their children to do sinful things. They're commanding them to do good things and right things, okay? So as long as you're not being commanded to sin, obey your parents, okay? Now, obedience to parents, that's going to someday cease. And so there's a large part of people who are sons and daughters here right now that obedience to your parents has ceased because you are an adult now, right? You've grown up. You've got your own home. You've got your own family. And so obedience to parents has passed. That's a thing that you do when you are a child under the authority of your parents, when you're a minor. But now you're an adult. But here's the deal. Although obeying your parents will someday cease, honoring your parents continues until the day you die. Until the day you die. Notice how I said that. Notice how I said that. Honoring your parents will continue, or should continue, until the day you die. It continues until then. Your parents may be long past, but you're still commanded to honor your parents. And so live in such a way that it's a way of obedience and honor to them. You know, my grandmother is buried out at Penn's Chapel here in Warren County. And my dad, he would go out and decorate the grave and do all those things. And when I was younger, you know, I mean, younger adult, I mean, my grandma died, you know, when I was 18 years old. And when Dad would go and decorate, even as an adult, I would think, why is he doing that? There's no use in that. She's gone. But you know what? I now realize that's an act of honoring his mom. That's one of the ways that we do that, right? We can decorate their grave. We can tell their stories. Even if they're gone, we can still honor our parents. And we can certainly do that if they're living, spending time with them, loving them, helping them, providing for them. So that's one of the ways that we honor our parents is to obey our parents. And when we're old enough to be our own person, our own man, our own woman, we're an adult, we still honor them, okay? Secondly, I would say this, is that you live in such a way that makes others think highly of your parents, okay? Children, you represent your family at all times. And the way that you act both in and outside of public life, in the home and out in public life, reflects back on your mom and dad. You know, I don't know what it is. It's like sometimes, especially young children, it's like they wait until they get you out in public and they know that they have you and they throw the biggest fit in the world because they know that you're going to do maybe anything to get them to hush. Children, live in such a way that makes others think highly of your parents. And then finally, for those of us who are older, take care of your parents later in life. If you want to honor your parents, take care of your parents later in life and even in their death, keep their memory alive. So sons and daughters, honor your parents. And so that's the second action. The final action I want to address to everybody, okay? Whether you're a mom or dad, son or daughter. The final action here that I want to point you to is this. Trust in Jesus, who lived and died to cover your dishonor. As a son or as a daughter, you have not only dishonored your earthly mom and dad, but don't forget that you have a heavenly father as well. And we've dishonored him. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Every one of us. We've dishonored God in some way. Maybe we dishonored God by dishonoring our parents. Ephesians 2:1-3 reminds us that we are children of disobedience. Listen to what it says. It says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Let's go back to verse 2 there. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of what? Yeah, disobedience. And that we are by nature children of what? Wrath. Guys, we have not been good children. We've fallen short. We've been rebellious. We've been disobedient. We've dishonored. But here's the good news. I said that the third action here is that you trust in Jesus, who lived and died to cover your dishonor. Jesus Christ never sinned. He always honored his Father. He always did what was right and did it for the right reasons. And one of the most amazing passages that reflects the heart of this obedient son, whose obedience becomes our obedience through faith, but one of the most important passages that reflects this is in Luke 22:39-42. Luke 22:39-42. You see here Jesus' heart in honoring the Father. Here's what it says. It says, "And he," that's Jesus, "came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed." And here's what he said, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Do you see the heart of Jesus? Where we have said, "Father, I want my will done right now." We said that to our parents even. I want to do this. I'm going to do this. I hear you, but I'm not going to do what you say do, Father, Mother. I'm going to do what I want to do. The heart of Jesus, the one who lived for you, the one who died for you, said, "Not my will, but your will, Father." Today, if you're here and you recognize that you have blown it as an obedient child, you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, I want to remind you that Jesus Christ lived obediently for you. If you will turn to Jesus in faith and love, his obedience becomes your obedience. But here's also the thing. Your disobedience is placed on him on the cross. You can be forgiven. You can be wiped clean. What was once a separation between you and God, between you and your heavenly Father, can now become peace through Jesus, can be reconciliation through Jesus. And so I beg you this morning, trust in Jesus, who lived and died to cover your dishonor. Here's my prayer in closing, may honor be a mark of your home and your life as a thank you to God for parents. You want to show God that you're thankful for parents? Honor your parents.